Daniel chapter number 10. We're going to the 10th chapter of the book of Daniel. Got quite a bit we want to say. I pray today that God will help us with this and encourage our hearts. It's exciting. I said a while ago, it's exciting times. It is.
It is.
It's exciting times to get to live in the last days. I know we're living closer than we have ever been to the second coming of the Lord. And I'm not talking about when I say second coming, I'm talking about our lift. I'm looking for my transportation, looking for my ride out of here. Matter of fact, according to what I found in the Word of God, it's a cloud. I've never rode on a cloud before. Amen? And I'm going to catch a cloud. Back under several years ago, a fella, what was his name, was Apple White, said we're going to catch the Hale-Bopp Comet. You remember that? Then they put themselves in plastic bags and suffocated themselves when the Hale-Bopp Comet come through, and they thought they went up and caught that thing. I don't know how you catch it from a bunk bed, but they supposedly did. And I'm not looking for that. I believe the cloud's going to come close enough to me get on. I believe it'll be the best ride I've ever had. It'll be better than what the funeral home's got for a hearse. Amen. Down there the other day at the funeral home, was some funeral, and I said, I never rode in one of them things. And when I do, I ain't going to know it. Amen. Take your Bible, turn to Daniel chapter 10. Stand and let's read together. Daniel, the old prophet of God. Amen. He even didn't know what he wrote most of the time.
Yeah.
He didn't. The Bible said in Daniel chapter 10, verse 1, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. That's what the name they gave him. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. He had a vision. In verse number 2 it said, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. That's tough, ain't it? Weeping and crying and mourning for 3 full weeks. Verse 3 said, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Amen. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man, clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. And I want you to go down just a little bit further. We'll skip down to verse 10. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now read the rest of this when you get home in chapter number 11. But slide over to chapter number 12, please. And I'll read a verse in chapter 12, verse number 4. All this is going on, and God told this to Daniel. But thou, in verse number 4, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. You can be seated. Father, give us divine wisdom this morning. I pray that your mighty hand might be upon us. Direct our thoughts. May we say what we need to say, no more, no less. May we not add anything to it that's of ours, but God, may it be the Word of God. And Lord, I pray today that we might see those things that we need to see, hear those things we need to hear. And God, may your will be done. May, Lord, we get the truth today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I want to go back just a minute and think about it and look at this. If you take Daniel out of the Word of God and books like Joel, and then you didn't have those two books or any in some of the other Old Testament books, and you went over to the book of Revelation and began to read the book of Revelation, it would seem so crazy. You wouldn't know what to do. If you had the book of Daniel and Joel and maybe books like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Habakkuk, and you didn't have the book of Revelation, your still would be at the place that you wouldn't know. I was on the radio in WRWH in Cleveland, Georgia, many years ago. I was pastoring my first church up here in the mountains. And I preached on that afternoon service, or on the afternoon radio, and then went to service that night. And one of the older men of the community come in, and I said, did you hear the broadcast this afternoon? He said, I sure did. He said, you need to wake up. I thought I'd done good. When you think you're doing good, you don't. He said, you preached out of the Old Testament. He said, hey, preacher, we're living in the New Testament age. And you ought to preach the New Testament. I said, the Bible's the Bible. And I believe it's all it. How many of you believe it? It's God's Word from Genesis to Revelation. And what about the rest of you? Amen. It is. It's all God's Word. And I'm saying, if you don't know, if you take the New Testament and leave the Old Testament out, you're going to have a warped theology. And if you take all in the Old Testament and don't accept the New Testament, you're going to have a warped theology. I can prove that to you. The Jews refuse the New Testament. Now I'm talking about the Orthodox Jews. A saved, born-again Jews, a Christian, a child of God, he'll accept both. But an Orthodox Jew that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, he will refuse the New Testament. He don't know anything about what's going on. That's why you can't win a Jew using Romans Road and everything else that we try to win people with today. You've got to take them back to Isaiah 53, the crucifixion. That's why they're still looking for the Messiah to come. I want us to go to chapter 9 of the book of Daniel. I want to read some things here. I got quite a bit I want to talk about, and I pray that the Lord might help us. If you tear out the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel out of the book of Daniel, you'll still be in the dark. If you want to know what's going to happen down the road next year or next year after that or sometime soon, read this book of Daniel. In chapter 9, verse number 20, I want to read these scriptures. I'm going to tie all this together, and I trust it'll be a help to you. It seems to be foreign language to a lot of people. But he says in Daniel chapter 9, verse number 20, and whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people. Have you ever done that? Amen. There have been times in my life I've tried to confess sins for others. Matter of fact, there's been times I've tried to confess some of the sins I've done and some I hadn't done just to get around to get God's attention. Amen. He said, in confessing my sin and the sin of my people and presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain of my God. Daniel was a praying man. Daniel knew how to get in touch with God. You got to remember he's in a different dispensation. It wasn't the day of grace. But he was a man of God. And I don't care where it's Old Testament, New Testament. People need to pray. Verse 21, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had... Have anybody in here seen Gabriel lately? Daniel did. Matter of fact, I don't know where I'll get to it today or not, but you're going to find that Daniel not only had some dealings with Gabriel, he had some dealings with Michael. Anybody seen Michael lately? Amen. So my heart and hat goes off to Daniel. Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. That's the evening sacrifice, the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Do you need that? I do. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Now, God gives Daniel things nobody else got. He said in verse number 24, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Notice this, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Now what's God saying to Daniel through the angel? He's saying, Daniel, from this time forth, it's going to take 70 weeks to fulfill God's holy plan of bringing in the king and setting up the kingdom and getting it established. 70 weeks. He said, that didn't happen. Just hang on. It hasn't been fulfilled yet. But I want to show you something. He even goes into details about it in verse 25. He said, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. Now you've got to look at these. These 7 weeks are 7 years. These weeks, these are weeks of years. You'll see that. And 62 weeks. What is that? 62 weeks. 62 weeks plus 7 weeks is what? 69 weeks. It's going to take 70 weeks to fulfill it. And he said, the street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah, that's the Son of God, is it not, be cut off. But not for himself, and the people of the prince shall that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Now verse 27 is one of the most, I guess, serious verses of this ninth chapter. Verse 27 said, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That's 7 years. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now I don't have time to preach all this out. This is one of those long messages that I'm going to try my best to condense, okay? When we look here, and I'm looking at news, and probably things have been happening while you're sleeping and playing Santa Claus. Things has been going on that you hadn't even noticed that's happened this year that the news media don't even want to tell you about. Not important. They're against the president and anything that's right. They're for everything that's wrong. And that's why the president calls them fake news. And they are. And when I give you what I'm fixing to give you now, some of you may have heard it, but you didn't get it from the news media. You got it on the side. In verse number 27, and let me just go on to tell you this first. I want to back up a minute. Can I back up and come back? I'm going to back up and come at it with full force. Somebody asked me the other day, he said, what about the temple? The third temple to be built. And then we talked about that the other day. And the question run through my mind, does the temple have to be built before the church is called out of here? And I asked a lot of questions about that. And one would say, yeah, I believe it does. And then said, no, I don't know, I ain't sure. Yeah, gotta be. But let me just give you something to think about. In verse 27, it said, and he shall confirm the covenant. I preached on this a few Wednesday nights back about how that they were trying to get the covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, fixed up with some of the nations. And they had some meetings about that. In the past few months, four nations has come together in a peace effort with Israel. How many knew that? A few of you. How many of that's new to you? All right. And just think about it. I saw this yesterday or day before, I don't know, last 2 or 3 days maybe. That the latest nation has come together with Israel and the Israeli Prime Minister, Netanyahu, met with them. I may not have said his name right, but he probably wouldn't say mine either. Met with them, and it's the country of Morocco. I mean, you heard that in the news lately. Morocco has agreed with Israel to normalize ties with Israel. They did that on the 10th day of December this year. No president we've ever had has done any more to do with peace than the one we've got now. He's the first one we had war with in a long time. Back in September, Bahrain or whatever you want to call it, and the United Emirates or Arab Emirates done the same thing. And a month following in October, Sudan. Now we've got four nations in Israel that's agreeing with a covenant with Israel. You said, so? Well, it's Bible. It's Bible. All that's got to come together before we get out of here. 69 weeks of Daniel's prophecy has come to pass. What stopped it from going on the 70 weeks straight through? One thing. Israel said, away with him! Away with him! Give us Barabbas! Crucify him! Let his blood be on us and our children. And God cut that 69th week to keep them from going into the 70th week. There's going to be another time, and it's going to happen. Now, you can talk to anybody you want to, and that won't take place and start in that 70th week until the church is called out of here. And I don't believe that the temple will be built before the rapture. And the reason I say that is this. Did you know today that over in the Holy Land, they are practicing for the temple. In 1967, we went over there in 1970, but in 1967 they had a war. And Israel got back some land that they didn't have before. This is not hearsay. It's fact. 1970, we saw the buildings where the bullet shells that went through the buildings. And we saw that they had the tanks and the vehicles blown up, and they're still, in 70, they were still sitting there. And the jets were flying over and busting the sound breaker, doing that breaking the sound barrier, I guess, and making, matter of fact, our windows got blowed out of our motel room in Bethlehem because of that. And that was a reminder that they had a war. So they got the country back to some degree, and down there at the Wailing Wall, they're doing some excavation and doing some diggings, and they're still doing them today. They found some blueprint plans of the Temple of Solomon that had been destroyed. And since that time, they've been working on them plans. Did you know that they've done, God, and I've done extensive study on this to see it. They're already prefabricated some things of that temple and how it's to be built. And they got it ready. All they were looking for is the place to put it, and they know where to put it, but they don't have the right to it yet. And if somebody says to them Jews, you can put it right down there where the mosque is, they'd jump on it today. That's called the Dome of the Rock. But the Muslims who are fighting the Jews, who are fighting the place, they're doing what they can today to keep that from taking place. And they got a cemetery outside the beautiful gate, the gate. There's 12 gates on that old city. And all those gates, the Feast Gate and all the Damascus Gate, we went through some of them. And they got a wall around it. You can get up and walk around the wall. But the gate called Beautiful, where the man was in Acts asking alms, is sealed up, and there's a Muslim cemetery on the outside of it facing the Mount of Olives, which Jesus says in Zechariah, he's going to come down in his feet, he's going to be placed upon the Mount of Olives, and the mountains are going to level. And he'll walk into that city. And just inside that gate is the Mosque of Omar, where they want to build that third temple, which they've already got prefabricated, and all they've got to do is start putting it together. And I read, and they said that they could have it built and in all its capacity within 6 months. Now that don't make you get stirred, you ain't got nothing to stir. Your beans are done baked to the sidewall. You're burning. I want you to know, bless God, that things are fixing to happen. And when I see these four nations have already signed peace treaties. I don't know where they signed peace treaties, but they have agreed, whatever kind of agreements they had. And others are going to fall suit with this. And at some point in time, they're going to give those Jews that privilege of building that temple again. The only thing it causes the 70th week to start is the church is still here. You said, what's that got to do with it? Well, God is going to deal with the temple and His people in that tribulation hour. Time of Jacob's trouble. Does this make sense to you? And now, go back with me. I'll read this just a minute. Not only have they prefabricated the temple, but they're practicing. They're practicing how to do the rituals of the Old Testament economy. They've been put on the sideline. Their temple is destroyed in 70 AD by Titus and the Romans, and they have nowhere called the temple. And the temple has to be built. You said, how do you know? 2 Thessalonians said that the Antichrist is going to sit down in it and declare himself God.
Yeah.
So it's going to be built. The Jews are practicing. They're also looking at their lineage. They're going everywhere looking in everything. They're trying to find. And by the way, the Jews don't know what lineage they are of. Some of them may have an idea of it, but they don't know. I mean, they're trying to put their family tree together. Amen. Over here, Smiths and Johnsons and all that, we know what we are. But they don't know where their lineage is. And only the Levites can be the priests. They're trying to find which ones are Levites. And they're practicing day and night over there trying to get ready so when they get the temple, they'll know how to do it. They've also got the utensils. The menorah, 7 golden candlestick, the showbread table, the Ark of the Covenant, all that, that they have done that, put it in the gold and the wood overlaid with gold, just like it was in the Old Testament, took Moses' order. They're looking for those Jews. They're not looking, amen, for Christ to come in the air to get the saints of God. They're looking for the King to come. You know why? They don't even have a New Testament. You tell them there's going to be a rapture, they're going to say, where'd you get that? Got it out of my New Testament. I don't believe that. They don't accept that, do they? They accept the Old Testament. You don't understand where we're coming to and where we're at? This is exciting to me. Anytime now. They're doing all that. They're trying to get it all laid out. Go back to Daniel. Please, chapter number 9. In verse number 27, the Antichrist somewhere, and he's not going to be revealed. What did the Bible say in 2 Thessalonians? After the church is called out of here, that's when the Antichrist is going to be revealed. When the white horse rides out in Revelation chapter 6, he's going to come out with peace. Isn't that what we're hearing in the Middle East now? Peace, peace, peace. Verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. He's going to confirm that. The Antichrist will confirm it. That will be confirmed that these countries are going to live in peace. When he rides out, he's not going to have a bow. He's not going to have an arrow. He's going to have a bow and he's going to preach peace. For the first 3.5 years. But look at what it says down for that. And in the midst of the week, 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. They're worshiping. That's when he moves in, takes over in the temple. Also, those Jews are right now looking everywhere to find them a king. They're looking at the lineages to try to find a king that will sit on their throne. They're looking for a king. But they won't find him. They'll fail in that. He's coming himself as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Revelation 19. They're trying to shake loose every bush and trying to get everything they can to put it together to get this thing set up so that their kingdom will be established. I'm not going to be around here. You may be, but I'm not. I see all these things and it blesses me. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate. Now back in years ago when Israel became a nation in 1948. Remember that? I was born in 47. I don't really remember it. But I heard about it. I was too little to remember it. But I know that they had an agreement, and Israel became a nation, and people started moving back into Israel. Did you know Tel Aviv is probably the most homosexual city probably in the world? Did you know that? Did you know they're into abortions and late-term abortions just like America? And no wonder God said in the Scriptures they'd be like Sodom and Egypt. No wonder our president, he don't know it, moved the embassy to Jerusalem. That's where God's going to deal. That's the capital of the world. That's the central focal point of the Bible. Somebody said everything hinges on Washington. Get your head out of the sand. Everything hinges on Jerusalem. Zion. Mount Zion or Mount Sion. Which way you're looking at it, it's called Mount Zion or Mount Sion. It depends on where it's Greek or Hebrew. It's the same place. Jerusalem. That's how God works everything. All this is going on. And back yonder, they said, this generation shall not pass. Let me just give you some scripture. Let's turn in our Bible to Matthew. If you do what I used to do, and take Matthew 24 and try to get the rapture of the church and the church in it, you're going to mess up. About 20 years ago, I opened my eyes. People told me that's the rapture. And that's the church. And then I thought, well, how can that be? I was just listening to lots of times you believe a lot of things just because people told you. Your mama told you that and you'll believe it till you die. Your daddy told you that and you ain't going to let nobody change your mind. Your daddy said, you got to drive a Ford or you ain't no good. And you've been driving a Ford since then. One can't figure out why in the world they won't run. Gotta be right. Understand what I'm saying? Mama's a holiness and you've been a holiness ever since in your mind. You may be in a Baptist church now, but you'd like to be back in the holiness. Understand? You're not facing facts. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 24, verse number 32, now learn a parable of the fig tree when his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves. You know that summer's nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Let's go over to the book of Luke, please, to chapter 21. Look at it in a different light. Chapter 21 of the book of Luke, verse 20. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. That means the destruction. When they see the abomination of desolation ride in, chapter 24 of the book of Matthew says they will flee. Those Jews are going to hide. They'll go down to a place called Petra. They'll be in them rocks and hide there, and God will hide them. You get that out of Revelation chapter 12. Didn't say Petra, but it tells you they'll hide. Then, verse 21, then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter therein. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But notice, but woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Are we seeing any of that today in the church? No. Amen. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. You see that? Then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake to them a parable, behold, the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Now when that fellow wrote that book, 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming in 1988, number one bestseller in 87, but nobody give you 10 cents for it today. It's false prophet. People have said that. And at that time, there's talking about Henry Kissinger. He's going to be the Antichrist. He's a Jew, or a Syrian Jew, I believe he said. Well, what are they saying today? We got a president now that's trying to get peace in some of them, and they got a Jew on the staff. A son-in-law to the president, by the way. And he's doing a lot to get this done. They said nothing about him, but they just try to ignore all that. Now, you see what they did? They took that generation. Some preachers come along and said, a generation they'd studied. Generations, 30 years. So they add 30 to 1948 and said, he's coming in 78. I remember them days. The other fellow said, no, it didn't come in 30 years. Found out that it's wrong. It's 40 years. 40 years is a generation. So he's coming in 1988. And he wrote his book. Well, it didn't come in 1988. And it says 50 years. So he's coming in 1998. He didn't come in 1998. And since then, I quit hearing him say anything. Now it's been 48, how many years? 70 years? What is it, 48, 50, 70, 72 years, hadn't it? Head toward 73 years since they became a nation. Did you catch what I read a while ago? You didn't catch this. Let's go back and read it again. He's telling them in the tribulation that there's things that's going to happen. But he said in verse number 30, when they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away. Them people that see it. Is that plain enough for you? This is to the Jew. It's not to the church. The church is in glory when this is taking place. You've got to rightly divide the Word of God. A lot of people don't catch all that. Israel was dispersed. And you want me to tell you what stirs my heart? And I get so excited reading all that I did about Daniel. Listen, I've cut out about 3/4 of my message. I've whacked this sermon all to pieces, just to get you enough to chew on and leave you hanging in the dark on some of it. But that might make you keep coming back. I don't know. Looking at the congregation, sometimes I'm wondering if it ain't running them off. Understand? The Word of God is real. You know what tickles me and thrills me?
And it just about makes me want to take a spell right now and run down the aisle time two. But I'm trying to save my energy. I got to preach tonight. Listen. Over 2,500 years ago, God said to Daniel, 70 years it's going to take to get this settled. 70 years. Or 77s, which is 490 years, excuse me. I'm off on that. But 70, he said, didn't say 70 years, said 70 weeks, didn't he? 70 weeks, which is 490 years. If you go back and study the history books, see what God said is going to happen, you'll see all them kingdoms coming up and going down. And you see how the Messiah was cut off. They crucified him. He would have been their king if they had said, "We want you to be our king." And they said, "No, sir, we don't want it." And even in the book of Acts, what is it? The fifth chapter, I believe it's the fifth chapter. I have to look the scriptures up. But in the fifth chapter, when they're stoning Stephen, God gave them one more opportunity to accept it, and they didn't. And God reverted with the gospel to the Gentiles. Put the Jews on the sideline. I just can't get out of here. Romans. Turn to Romans. You said, when's that 70th week going to start? When's that last week going to happen, preacher? I can tell you exactly. I don't know the date on the calendar. I don't know the year in the system. But I can tell you this. Romans chapter 11, verse 25, and I've already read it. In Luke, in Romans chapter 11, verse 25, the Bible said, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery." I wanted to preach on the mysteries. You see, God stopped and gave a mystery to the church. I wanted to talk about how He established the church, and I wanted to take you into the book of Ephesians and show you the bride that Christ is going to present the church as His bride without spot and without blemish. And that's what God is doing right now. He's trying to prepare you and me to get us ready. When's the church going to get called out? When His bride is complete. Huh? Praise God. Well, verse 25, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness," that's what's happened to Israel, their blindness, "in part." They're not totally blind. They're blind in part. God cut the light off in their brain, spiritually speaking. "That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." What's that mean? As long as the church is here, it's classified as the Gentiles. And brother, when God gets ready to take us out of here, the 70th week will start. And when that happens, we're within 7 years of the revelation, Him coming back on the white horses. 7 years. If a rapture took place today, in 7 years He could be coming back. It's going to take Him. Now, I heard the preacher the other day said that it's either going to be a 3.5 years or 7 years after the church is taken out. And I thought, "Oh, sir, don't say that. One that you said is right, 7 years. But 3.5 is not. That, he's mid-trib. And we're not going through the tribulation." I have come to the conclusion, amen, that Israel's 70th week will not start again until the rapture takes place. I can give you scripture after scripture. A lot of people won't believe it. They don't accept it. But I'm so settled on that, it don't even shake me one little bit. I hear them say something different. I say, "Oh, Lord, open their eyes. They can't see it." I used to be like that. But I'm settled on these things. Thank you. Well, I'll just shut up.